Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
There's a cat over here. There's a cat over there. And the wrong one died. And the wrong one died.
Welcome to The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. I'm your host, Mike Abrams, and today we have another amazing guest. She has been Victoria in many productions of Cats, including the 2014 UK tour, the West End revival, and is currently in the Vienna revival. So welcome, Hannah Kenna-Thomas, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
I am excited because you've been Victoria for many years now. Yeah. And so I always love to hear first, though, before 2014, I know, you know, you're a dancer, and to do Victoria, you have to have a big dance background. But how much about Cats did you know before you joined the tour?
So I knew quite a lot about Cats.
Okay.
So I was a very big Cats fan when I was younger. It was actually the first musical I'd ever seen on, because it was like a VHS back in the day. And I remember watching it and just being completely in awe of it, like completely obsessed. I just had never seen anything like it before. And the reason I, you know, watched it was because when I was younger, we used to go on holiday to this like little place in Wales where I'm from. And they used to have this like karaoke competition. And I remember thinking, oh, I want a really unusual song that no one knows. And my mum was like, oh, you should do Memory from Cats. I was like, it's Cats, you know. So that's how I watched the video. And I remember watching it and being like, oh my God, mum, I don't want to be that one. Obviously, it was Isabella, but for a little girl, you know, you don't want to be that one. I was like, I want to be the white one. So I literally, like, as a young girl, grew up, you know, I made my mum buy me a white cat suit when I was younger, before I even started dancing, and I used to pretend I was in it in my living room.
Wow. Did you ever do karaoke did you ever do Memory in karaoke?
I did. Of course, I didn't win because, you know, I'm not a Grisabella. But I remember I finished Memory, and at the end of it, I go down into the splits to finish it off, which of course is completely like ridiculous, but you know, I thought it was amazing back then.
That is awesome. So so you're obsessed. You have the cat suit growing up.
And then, you know what? I kind of forgot about it for a few years because obviously life goes on, and I kind of like geared off into the ballet world, completely forgot about it. So.
And then how did you end up back? Did you see the audition and you're just like, oh, this, it's time? Or did you get a call? Like, how did you end up on tour that first time?
Another crazy story. So I left ballet school 2013. And before I left, I knew I didn't want to continue. I was like, you know what? The ballet route, it's not for me. It's not what I want for my life. I don't fit in, you know? So I was kind of like at a loose end, and I ended up getting a job in Spain at this like showgirl palace, which was really cool. It really got me out of my shell from the ballet world, as say, you know, and got my confidence back, because I lost a lot of confidence with performing and stuff being at school. I was there for about 5 months. I had a bit of a rough time and I had to leave for, you know, a few reasons. So I left my contract early. And I thought, right, I want to try musical theatre. So obviously in the ballet world, you don't need agents. You know, you just go to open halls and you audition. But for musical theatre in the UK, I'm sure it's the same as America. You need, or I'm not sure actually, you need an agent.
You're talking to the wrong person to answer these questions anyways.
But you need an agent to audition. So I was just, you know, at home, sending off all my stuff to these agents, didn't really have a clue, had a really crappy home movie that I made in my old dance school with my mom filming, you know, very comical. And anyway, my mom ends up bumping into a friend of hers who we knew from my old dance school because her son's in the musical theatre world. And she said, oh, Matt's agent's casting Cats. And yeah, Matt's going to go for it. And then my mom obviously comes home and she says, oh, send your stuff off to this agent because he's casting Cats. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, mom, just leave it. You know, when your mom tries to get involved.
Yeah.
I was like, just leave it. Like, it's fine. And in the end, she kept pestering me. I was like, okay, I'll just send it off to this agent just to shut you up. And yeah, I remember he emailed me back a few days later and he was like, hi, Hannah, I've seen your stuff. We're actually looking for a white cat at the minute. Here's the audition. The audition was in like a few days' time. There you go. And I was like, oh my gosh. And it was kind of one of the moments where I looked at this email and I thought, shit, like this meant so much to me at one point in my life. And then here I am, like found in this situation, like years later. And it just seemed a bit like magical. I mean, as cringe as that sounds, but it just felt a little bit strange, a little bit, you couldn't write this stuff, you know?
Mm-hmm. So did you, I'm assuming you dusted off your old white cat suit,
started
practicing.
Me. And you know what? Strangely, that's nowhere to be found. I'd love to find it to this day, but I don't know where it's gone.
It's gone. It's at the heavyset layer. So one thing I always find really interesting, and I'd be curious to hear your kind of thought on it, is in times when this was such a, like, this was the character you as a kid grew up and then you get to do it now professionally. How does that, like, is it a little bit like, does it keep the moment for you? Does it ruin the moment for you? Like, what is it like to be able to sustain something that was so important to you as a child, but then to have it as a job, as a profession?
I think it's the best thing in the world. You know, it actually just makes me so grateful, you know, cause the show is so hard. And even when you have them days of, oh, I'm really tired or this and that, I always just think of me as a little girl literally wanting to do this. And there's always something so magical in that for me. And I am so grateful. And as you can tell, I love the show so much. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
Okay. That's good to hear. I always I do a lot more stuff in the sports world and you hear stuff in sports world where like the journalists who are fans, it's like it almost ruins their fandom because then they have to do it for their job. And so it's good to hear that that's not the case. It's still like super passionate.
For sure.
I want to talk about a few of the productions. So you went out on tour.
Yeah.
This is very early in your career.
Yeah.
What was the first UK tour like? Because that was your first delve into musical theater.
That's right. Yeah.
So tell me about that tour. Like, how's Cats received across the UK? Because I've talked to some US tour members and especially some of the first US tour members where it was an experience. You know, it was pretty wild bringing this to the show across the country. What was it like in a smaller town where you would go perform?
It was amazing. It was such a good experience. You know, it was a bit of a culture shock with, you know, having to book digs everywhere and not having a clue like how this stuff works. But it was amazing. And you know what? The UK audience, they love Cats. Cats is just one of them shows. I'm not sure about the US. It's probably the same, but it's, you know, I think people either love it or they hate it. So of course the people who come to watch it, they love it. So the audiences are always amazing. And it was just amazing to be on stage every night and see that and you know, feel the appreciation. And it was wild. Yeah, it was an incredible, like, start to my career. I don't know, touring is hard for sure, but it's worth it, because it's like, you know, you never really rest, you never really settle, you're constantly on the go, you're constantly, you know, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Now you go and you come off tour and you're in the West End Revival.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean,
so that
where
was
the show planned. Started.
That was not planned from the tour.
Okay.
Way. That was a complete fluke. The tour was meant to finish a year after, maybe. And Andrew Lloyd Webber and Trevor Nunn came to watch in one of the small venues in North Wales, where I'm from. And we didn't know about this. We got in to put our makeup on, you know, you do all time before the show. And the company manager says, oh, we've got a VIP guest in tonight. And we were like, who? You know, like, you know, expecting a, you know, a celebrity or I don't know. Mm-hmm. Andrew Lloyd Webber. And we were like, shit. You know, it was, you know, the pressure goes up then, of course. And from then, they saw the show. And obviously, maybe there was a gap in the West End or something. They wanted to fill the Palladium at a certain point. We didn't know any of this. And they liked the cast. They liked everything. And from then was when they decide, right, we're going to pull the Enfield tour venues and we're bringing it to London. So wow. That was how it was planned. However, we weren't, you know, when it was told to us a week later, what was said was, they're bringing it to London based on this tour, meaning you don't know if you're going to go to London.
So so they're going to bring the quote unquote tour to London. People, maybe actors, maybe actresses, maybe.
Yeah.
So tell me about, what is it like when you're finishing putting your makeup on and you have that moment where they say, hey, the creators of this show are sitting in the audience in this tiny theater. You can probably see them.
Yeah.
What goes through your mind with that?
Oh, it's crazy, actually. I mean, it's different for everyone, but for me, you know, you can perform to thousands of people and not care and do your own thing and be in your own world. But as soon as you know someone, even a friend in the audience, it gives me anxiety somehow. And especially with like important people, but you kind of have to just like, let it be there and just get on with it how you usually do the show. Which never is. It's never as good. You know, the show is always a little bit more weirder because you're putting too much pressure on yourself, really. But yeah, it's a little bit of anxiety for me.
So which was harder, when Andrew Lloyd Webber was there or when like your mom or your family?
Oh, my
was
mom
there?
And my friend, 100%.
Oh, that was more? Okay. Yeah. Now, for the cast, because I don't think you do Green Eyes, right? You're not.
I
are you
do
part of Green,
Green
Eyes?
Eyes. I do.
Did you? Were you happen to be Green Eyes right by Andrew? Like, I can imagine somebody might jump in front of him and
yeah.
Like, did no. Somebody get that opportunity, or did everyone just steer clear?
It wasn't me though this time. But I am sure he was sat pretty near to the front, so it's very.
Can you imagine if you're roaming around and you're coming from the front to the back or back to the front and all of a sudden you turn and you start to scare somebody and it's Andrew Lloyd Webber?
Can you imagine? Yeah, it wouldn't be fun, would it?
what would your reaction been if it was you?
I would probably be shocked if I didn't know he was there. I would be very shocked.
But since you were told he was there, was everyone like kind of looking around being like, don't jump out at him? Like, how cognizant of it?
Yeah, of course, people are aware. You know, people, you know, are vigilant towards it. You know, everyone's on high alert. You know, he's in the audience, yeah. So.
That's awesome. Now, so you do get picked to go to the West End Revival, and now you get to do the show where it started. What was that production like?
Oh, it was incredible. It was such a magical / crazy time because, you know, we were the first West End Revival since it left London when it was originally there. And we knew what a big deal it was. And we were so excited. There was some big changes to the show, I'm sure you know of, with the Tugger and the Gumby, they changed. And we had Nicole Scherzinger as leading lady. So it was all very exciting.
This was the street Tugger, right?
Yeah.
The rapping Tugger.
The rapping Tugger, indeed.
The infamous rapping Tugger.
Yeah. You know, very controversial.
Yes, very.
So, you know, when we were in the rehearsal process, we had no idea, you know, what was going to happen. You know, we were just going along with it, seeing it unfold. So, yeah, it was very exciting. It was a very exciting time. And we knew it was special. We knew it was going to be a special time.
So when you're in that production, I know there's obviously the tweaks, but it's the first time coming back. What was the buzz like in the theater world in the West End this show, you know,
it was returning? It was amazing. We did like a press launch before. So it was a few months before we got there. And this was before we knew we were going to be in the show. And we were in Newcastle performing at the time. And we come down on the train early in the morning. And then we have to go back up that evening to play the show. And that was it was so nerve-wracking, but so exciting, you know, just all the press. And, you know, after this was out, there was going to be all, like, you know, press releases about it, which was, you know, that was the start of the buzz. And then when we were down there, when we began, yeah, I remember the first preview, and I just remember the audience, like, after the overture, like, really, like, screaming and clapping, and it was just like, oh, my God, this is real, like, this is crazy.
Yeah. That production is such an interesting one because it seemed like it had highs and lows.
Yeah.
Of like looking back on it, not probably during, but when it's like looked in the fandom history books of Cats and you know, in the world of Cats, it is the first time that it comes back to the West End.
Yeah.
But with some of these tweaks that did not last or work. No. And then, you know, obviously with Nicole Scherzinger, there was some post 2016 stuff with her that also didn't go well. So it's like, it's a really interesting one to look at now.
For sure.
Versus then.
For sure. Yeah, this is true. And it's always that way, isn't it? You know, you can't please everyone in this world.
For sure. And that's what the show is crazy about, is this show is wide reaching for such a long time with tweaks. And I've joked, but it's not joking. There are parts to this show that happened in other productions that I'm just like, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Because I know about Street Tugger because the rapping Tugger was very, and it's also fascinating because I think that's such an interesting character to change.
For sure.
But there's so many other little things of like, we're going to have this character and this ensemble character is going to be named something else in this country. It's a little wild because it's been around for so long and there isn't a plot. There's like such a loose through line that everyone has to fill in the blanks.
For sure. The audience for sure have to. I mean, we know the plot and there is, you know, when you hear the plot from the director, it's crazy. It's crazy intricate. But obviously, as an audience member, you don't know this. So, you know, you do have to fill in the gaps, I guess.
Well, fill in the gaps for us then. We'll get to Vienna next, but you brought it up and I want to hear, I know that you get a day or two usually of like, here's the story and the backstories.
Yeah.
What doesn't the audience know? Like, what can you share with us that people should know when they go see it, whenever it comes back next, because it will come back?
Well, I always think it's like the cats in the show are really relatable to humans, like really relatable. Mm-hmm. And then you can, as you know, you will know people who can relate with certain cats and go through certain things. And it's like life, really. It's like, for example, the Grisabella story, you know, as the main one, she was, you know, this is an obvious one, but, and you can tell this from the show, you know, back in the day, she was the glamour cat, you know, everyone wanted to be around her. However, she obviously falls on hard times. She gets with the wrong guy. You know, everyone can relate to that. She gets with the wrong guy. She starts doing things she shouldn't do. And then, you know, and it's just the intricacy of how it's told and, you know, it's hard for me to explain it here because there is a lot, but for me, it's relating it all to real life. And then you sit there and you think, oh my God, yeah, that happens to humans. That happens to us, you know, and obviously she gets with McCarity. He's probably, you know, the bad boy. You shouldn't get, he gets you into drugs. He gets you into like all the crazy shit you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. And from then, you know how it is in society. You know, if you, for example, like if, how like say prostitutes are looked at in society, but you know, people are very much, oh no, no. And that's just the story with Grisabella kind of, it's kind of like, oh no, darling, we don't want, you know, and, but to see, to hear all this detail and relate it to our life, for me, it's like, I get it now, you know, otherwise it's just a cat coming on stage who looks a bit haggard and no one likes her. So that's what the audience see. But when you hear the backstories, like we hear, it's so fascinating. And obviously it's every cat. Every cat has got their thing and their intricate story. But it's such a shame because the audience, unless you are a, you know, like a good fan and you're a fan of the show, you can research this stuff. But the average audience would never know.
Well, so not only will the average audience not know, I mean, because I was less than the average audience when I went the first time. Yeah. I knew nothing. I just knew I was, I mean, again, I was told, look at the set, because I heard the set was really intricate. I was told that, you know, you're going to know memory and probably not recognize any of their songs. And that was mostly it. It's just great dancing. That was what I was basically warned about and nothing else. And I tried to piece, like, I like sitcoms. And I like nice and tidy stories. Yeah. And I didn't get one. And now that I've kind of broke through and done my research, and because of this show, I have learned way more than I ever thought I would need to about this show. But even as I've talked to other cast members and I've read the theories and rumors online, there's not a consistent answer for most of these cats. There's like, somebody plays these as brother, sister. Somebody plays this as mom, dad. Somebody plays this as like uncle, and or I'm not part of this. And they're not always the same tour to tour, show to show, person to person. And I think that that's a really interesting part of this show.
Yeah.
Is just that there isn't a, like, if you play X character, and again, I'm not the right person to just bring any random Broadway reference in as someone who knows so little about it. But I, you know, most theater productions, it's like, this character is this backstory, should be played this way with your little like personal tweaks on it, but it's generally going to be played this way. And that's not the case with Cats. And I find that fascinating.
That is, I think, why the show does so well. Because the director of it, she's very good at, you know, telling you the story, you know, telling you little bits. For example, Mongrel Jerry and Rumpelteazer, you know, yeah, some people can play them as brother, sister. Other can play them as a love interest. But, you know, she'll give you a few tips, a few pieces of advice. You know, for example, Rumpelteazer, she adores Mongrel Jerry, you know, in whatever way you take that. Mm-hmm. And I think this is how the show stays so alive, because people can do their take on it. They can relate to it in their way. And that way it's more real, you know?
For sure.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
And there's so many characters that are relatable, like you said. Somebody, you'll relate to somebody's story.
Yeah, for
sure. And I think that I didn't pick up. Like, you have to watch it many times, whether it's the VHS or Go, to figure out like which character you relate most to, or just what even their stories are. Because some of them are obvious or more obvious, and some of them are not, you know? And it's like, I like the twins. I didn't know anything about the twins until probably a couple months ago.
Yeah.
Where I was just like, I didn't realize they exist. I didn't realize they had this crazy backstories and all those things. And I think like, you could probably stick me at that show 1,000 times and I would have never picked that up well.
Of course.
Until I talked to somebody who's played it.
Of course. No, this is the thing. It's wild how much backstories there are.
So tell me now the Victoria backstory.
So Victoria, she's a young cat. So I always think she's not the youngest. So she's not like Jemima, who is like the baby. Mm-hmm. She's a little bit older. So she's like 13, 14. She's like coming into herself. And obviously, you know, the White Cat solo, it's her discovering herself and sensualities for the first time. And I think her journey in the show is discovery. And obviously, because she, at the end, is the one who goes over to Grisabella, you know, I think she's just gone back to basics at that point, and it's just pure, it's innocence, you know, and it's, there's no bias, there's no influence from society. It's just very pure. And, but also I see a journey in the character, you know, from discovering herself and finding new experiences throughout the show. And yeah.
It's interesting because it is a, like I've read more, that is the, excuse me, that's the backstory that you hear. And then you watch the first coming of age dance and it does not look super innocent.
No.
You know,
this is the thing. Yeah. One of her three words is innocent, but I always find it somehow hard to play that, you know, because
yeah,
there has to be some sensuality in it, you know? But maybe there's innocence in that. There's innocence in discovering your body and how it works, maybe. I don't know.
Completely. The first time I watched it, though, I'm like, these two dancers are, you know, and this is before I was told that the ball is an orgy.
Yeah.
I was like, these two dancers, I was like, this is very sexual and sensual. Yeah. And it's like, again, not knowing anything about what I'm watching, I'm like, what's going on here? You know, like, what's this cat story? Because it doesn't, like, it just seemed a little different compared to, like, and that's, again, part of the brilliance of the show.
Yeah.
So you said innocence. What are the other two of the three words?
Romantic, which could, you know, you can use that in the, her with McCavity, not McCavity, Admetus. McCavity, White Cat and McCavity, no. Romantic and unself-conscious.
Okay.
She doesn't care. Not that she doesn't care, but she's not aware of, you know, judgment from people and how she's completely free in her body. And, you know, and I think that's where her and Admetus, the little bit in the ball, happens, because she's just so unaware of people around her, and it's just pure. And, you know, that's how I see it.
So I have two other rumor mill questions for you that I'm curious if you played it this way, thought about it this way, was told this. So one is that you're either deaf or mute as Victoria. Was that ever told to you?
No.
No, okay.
The thing is, like, white cats usually aren't they? You know, like, normally the actual animal, isn't that like a genetic thing?
I don't know. For as much as I know about Cats the Musical, I know very little about Cats the Animal.
I'm the same, but I feel like I've heard that white cats have a genetic mutation that they are like deaf or something. I could be completely wrong. I don't know what I'm saying here, but no.
That is a great, I like that angle though better, because I just assumed it's because your character doesn't sing.
Well,
and
maybe
just dances in a show. And so they're like, oh yeah, so that's it. It's because they can't. The other one is that there's a rumor that Grizz is actually your mother.
Oh, I've not heard this one before. I mean,
and it's because I think you're the first one to reach out to her.
Yeah.
In her song.
I mean, I've never even thought of that actually. But you know what? I'm not going to say it's not a thing. I think people can interpret the show however they want to, because I feel like it could be possible. It could be possible, you know?
So that is not what was told in your backstory. But again, no, one of those are just like,
that's not a
so what were you told about your relationship with Grisabella then?
Well, it's probably the first time that Victoria ever sees Grisabella is at, you know, at this night when she comes. And I think obviously there's curiosity and, you know, you just don't understand. She doesn't understand why all the other cats are, you know, shunning her away and pushing her away. And I just think it's just pure innocence. And obviously, like, wow, what's going on? And, like, what's wrong with everyone? You know, why is everyone acting this way? I think it's a first meeting and just a complete, like, just don't understand what's going on, why everyone's acting this way.
So it's not an abandoned child. It's a, you're meeting an old time celebrity for the first time that you didn't know about.
Yeah, that's how I play it. I mean, but you know what? It's very interesting to look at it that way. I've actually never thought of it, but.
So now you're about to go back on tour in Vienna, or not on tour. The Vienna revival. You're going to be there. Are you going to bring this into you? Are you going to think, hey, mom?
I will.
Welcome back.
You know what? That's the beauty of this show. You can play however you want. You know, you do so many shows. You know, it's good to think of different angles as you play. So, yeah, thanks for that. I'll give it a little go.
I'm proud. It's been my goal to influence the show by just bringing up all these rumors. And so I now have my first chance. When you go back in September, I want you to let me know after you play the show. You're like, I played it as mom.
I will.
And let me know if it worked or didn't work for you.
I will, for sure.
And we'll tell the world. So let's talk a little bit about Vienna. So you are now in the Vienna revival.
Yeah.
As Victoria. And you had a quick break, but I think you're coming back here in September of 2021. I'm going to date this because these will probably live well past us. And since you don't have as much singing, I've been fascinated about learning the show in another language, and because it's in German, right?
Yeah,
and
that's right.
How does that change stuff, especially as a dancer? Because are your cues on music? Are they on singing? Like, because it is, again, it's a different language. Like, that's crazy to me.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, it's really just the same. Of course, like, the words change, and of course there is certain. But in my head, I will still be going, if we're trying to find out a piece in the music, I will be like, oh, say it in English. It's weird how your brain still runs in English but can say it in German, if that makes sense.
Okay. So you're able to still...
To recall the show, I would be like, and I would be like, oh, it's this part, and then say it in English. And then, obviously, people who haven't done it in English will be like, oh, but they will still know it as well. I don't know. I don't know how it is. And the German, obviously, it wasn't as hard as I thought. Because when you say it to music, it helps. The naming of cats was probably the hardest to learn because it's a poem. You know, there's no...
Yeah.
With the movement and with the music, it's like a pattern in your brain. You know, the language becomes... It's crazy how it's not a thing. Sometimes I forget that it's in German. I'll be doing the show and I forget that I'm speaking German, you know?
Yeah, I definitely feel that. The stuff I learned as a kid in song stuck with me more than anything else I was taught. Cool. So I definitely get it. But having done, like, it does amaze me. And this is, again, your profession. So this is where, you know, this is a skill that you have to do that most... the majority of the world does not have this skill, which is why you're doing it and we're watching. But to go from years of doing it in English to then an entirely different language, even though it's the same, it feels like it's almost harder, but I guess it's not because it's in music.
Yeah. No, I thought this at the beginning too, but it's crazy how your brain, it just doesn't... You don't even think about it. But I, obviously, learning it even learning it wasn't as hard as I thought. Yeah, you have to, but I feel like it's the same as if I didn't know it in English, if that makes any sense.
Okay.
So basically, in a nutshell, it just wasn't as, you know, I pictured myself coming home and, like, you know, like learning it, and that's not how I learn. Like, I hate revising. I hate studying anything like that. So for me, it was just a case of going in, getting the brain pattern, getting the, you know, the automatic thing going. And once it's in there, it's in there, you know. And then it's hard to – it wouldn't be hard to do the – for example, I'm going to say it like this. So if you were to say to me, can you sing the opening for me now? I would say in German. I'd say, no, I don't know it. Mm-hmm. However, if today I was in costume on the stage with the music, I would be able to do it because it's in my brain there, if that makes any sense.
I think it does. It's in the moment. It's like it's a recall.
Yeah.
It takes the right sensory to have it. I feel like there's definitely some studies behind that where things like happen more second nature.
Yeah. And the thing is, if you have a moment, it's the same with the choreography. You have moments all the time when you go, oh my God, I don't know what I'm saying, or I don't know what I'm doing. You just have to just not think, because you'll do it. And if you think about it, you'll get it wrong.
That's probably why, like you said in the beginning, it's so much harder when your family or Andrew Lloyd Webber is there, because you're thinking about
exactly
every step of the way versus something you're doing eight times a week, you know, or like all the time.
Yeah. It's better to do it when you're so tired. The shows for me, when I'm so tired, they're the better shows, because you're like, you just get on with it and you let your body take over.
Well, I hope I didn't make you overthink Grisabella being your mom.
Oh gosh. No, not at all. Little acting things. I love them.
Great. Okay. Let's do a couple rapid fire questions before we get into the, you know, the $1 million question. So if you could play anybody else, I know obviously Victoria was your number one growing up and everything, but just if you could just be any cat, forget male, female, vocal range, dance ability, anything, which one would you want to do for a day?
Bomb Ballerina, for sure.
Yeah, just such a fun song. That's a very common answer.
I love her. She's so sexy, and I'd love to play. I'd love to play her for a day.
That's awesome. What about your favorite and least favorite cat?
So favorite, I have to say Victoria, don't I?
Okay, let me eliminate Victoria.
Okay,
because I think that's your, you know, that's me. That makes sense. Yeah.
So I would say Bomb Ballerina, my favorite.
Yep.
My least favorite. Oh, this is, I feel mean. I'm trying to think. Least favorite.
So take the people out of it. Just the cat.
It probably sounds awful. No one's probably said this before, but I'm going to have to say Skimbleshanks.
Skimbleshanks. Okay, now you got to tell me why.
Because I feel like, as a cat, taking the people out of it would just annoy me. I feel like he's a lot.
So it's interesting you say that, because a lot of people love him, like, including cast members. But I got almost yelled at by the Broadway Skimbleshanks, because the episode I recorded where I kind of analyzed him, I called him the creepy uncle.
Yeah.
I kind of got like a creepy uncle vibe, and everyone that's played it is like, no, I'm the cool uncle. Like, everyone loves me. And so it is kind of interesting to hear that you wouldn't like that character, because I got a different vibe. Than now I'm like, I've turned a corner with him, because I've talked to enough Skimbleshanks to be like, all right, you seem really fun and really cool. I didn't get that vibe the first time I saw it, but mostly it was because I was so like, I was overwhelmed the first time I saw everything, that nothing really registered. And so as I rewatched things, that's where I was like, oh, it looks like he's taking his pants off. It looks like he's like, there's some things in there. I'm like, this just seems a little unique. And then I also got blinded by the light from the train. Oh, and I was like really mad when I saw it. Yeah. It like hit me.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they pointed into the crowd. Well, it hit me.
Yeah.
And I'm still mad at them for that.
So yeah, I get it.
So what about favorite song?
It's probably I really like Moonlight. Pardon me.
Okay.
The one that Jemima sings, and then we sing it in the second act. I think that's really special. I like that one.
Okay. I thought you were going to say McCavity with all the Bombay Arena stuff.
Yeah, no, that one's cool. But I feel like the Moonlight's got a special.
Yeah. Now, here's my different question. I always try to kind of, I like one kind of unique one. And I think, I don't know if, I read a fun fact about you that you danced in the 2012 Olympic closing ceremonies.
That is right.
And so my question to you is if Victoria was an Olympian, what would she be, what sport would she be playing?
She would definitely be a rhythmic gymnast.
That is, I have that. I'm looking at my notes. That is exactly what I wrote down as well.
Yeah.
That was the best answer.
The ball up with the leg.
Exactly. What about if it was winter? I know this was summer, but what if it was a winter Olympics?
Winter Olympics. Oh my, I'm not really familiar. I actually don't. The only thing that I know of is the tobogganing, but I don't think that's something she'd be doing.
I don't see Victoria has, because she's so tiny, I can't imagine she's going to be really good at bobsled or skeleton. I think it's figure skating. Yeah, it's figure skating.
Of course, figure skating. Oh, I'd love to be a figure skater. I think it looks super, so cool.
That is a, growing up playing hockey, the figure skaters are always on the other ice while we practice. Oh, cool. And so it is a skill. It is a very difficult skill.
I know. And I just think it looks incredible.
So, million-dollar question. Mm-hmm. I have argued that your soon-to-be mother, Grisabella, was not the right Jellicle choice to die at the ball.
Oh, okay.
Do you think Grisabella is worthy of being the cat to die, or would you choose somebody else? And I'd love to hear either argument why.
You know what? I think she's worthy. I think she's worthy of it.
What's your defense for Grisabella?
I just feel like the other cats, although some, you know, for example, Gus, you know, he's obviously on his way to the Heaviside Lair and he's lived a very lovely life. But I feel like none of them are at the point of despair like she is. You know, they can all hold it together for another year. To go to another Jellicle ball. You know, they're mentally a little bit stronger. They're a little bit more resilient than she is. And I feel at this point in the poor woman's life, she needs to catch a break.
So the argument you're making is, and this is my favorite part of this, is to just kind of make sure I'm getting this right.
Yeah.
The argument you're making is that everyone else can live to next year's ball. So we're going to reward the one that is not going to make it.
And I feel like she's in a lot more pain than everyone else.
Okay.
That's how I feel. So I'm like, we need to put her out of this misery.
So you're going to reward her poor life decisions.
Hey, we all make mistakes. And this is the big lesson of cats. You know, it's acceptance.
And it's the redemption story.
Yes, exactly.
So you're going to be comfortable killing your mother. Well, I guess old Deuteronomy, killing your mother.
Well, you know what? If it puts her out of her misery and she's going to a better place, then I suppose it's the best you can do.
Then yes. Okay. I would be... The part that I had always argued, I can't make an argument for in your West End production because I didn't get to see Street Tugger.
Yeah.
And it's very hard to find any version of that anywhere. Like I've been looking to see if I could find like a bootleg or some way to see like what was this number like. Because I'd always argued that Tugger and Mistopheles together should go. Because it's a super that. So that's my argument.
So repeat that. I think you cut out. Tugger and Mistopheles should...
Yeah, should go together.
To the Heaviside Lair.
Yes. They should be picked together. I watched this as a singing competition of what was the most entertaining. I watched Leona Lewis and I thought X Factor. And I thought they usually pair groups together from individuals. So I'm going to take the two that I found the most impressive and entertaining. And that was the two of them. But I'm not sure, from what I've read about Street Tugger, I'm not sure I would have gotten that same thing. So I wonder if I would have been more Team Gus or Grisabella and this whole thing wouldn't exist if I saw your West End production first.
I think you still would have gone for it, you know, with their number in the second act. It was the same, you know, they had the same little duo going. But I know what you mean. You can't really judge because you never saw it. But I get that. I've never looked at it like that. But
I don't think anybody's looked at it like that. And I think that's why I'm here, is to try to slowly get people to look at this show from a lot of different angles that they probably have never explored it from.
I've definitely heard the X Factor thing before, definitely, you know, all competing, you know, showing off their number.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, I think that fits. I don't think that was the intention.
Yeah.
But I think that there is a loose, I've heard some explanations of like, yes, you're all giving your case for why you should go.
Yeah.
And so that is a singing competition. Pick anyone you want. Mm. And there's a reward at the end, which also fits.
Yeah.
But it's a very loose tie through, but that's the part of the show, is this whole thing is a loose tie through. There's no,
there is
no real
interpretation, isn't it?
Start to finish.
Yeah. But,
so how can we stay in touch with you on social media and in general? So that way when you are, if anybody's in Vienna, they can go see you too.
So my Instagram handle is just Hannah Kenna. HANNAHKENNA. Really easy. You can just hit me up, you know, ask them some questions. If you're in Vienna or, you know, I'm here.
You want to see it in German and now get to see, I'm ready. I want to hear how you, when you play it as Grisabelle as your mom, how that goes for you.
I will let you know.
I'm ready. Well, thank you so much for coming on and telling these great stories and talking about Street Tugger and everything else that I've always wondered about. So it's been a pleasure having you on.
Pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure for me. I've really enjoyed it.
And thanks for listening to this episode of The Wrong Cat Died, the podcast breakdown of the catastrophe. To follow along, you can subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at The Wrong Cat Died, and check out our website, thewrongcatdied.com.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway, and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.